Blog Talk Radio.
Are you barefooters out there looking for a new place to shop, eat, or save? Are you sick of paying full price? Would you like to save money at the places you enjoy most? Well, here's a popular savings book that is full of coupons catered to your local area. It's called Save Around. This book is full of exclusive discounts to help you save money around your town. Yes, that's Save Around. You will save money at restaurants, department stores, on cars, even flowers. When I take my family out, there are seven of us. The average meal was about $110 to $140. Last time I took them out, and I'm holding a copy of the receipt right now, right here. The check was $120. With the Save Around book, our meal cost us $82 at a place we go to quite often. Who knew? And there are a few places we found that we're going to check out. Here's what you can do. If you want to save that much money, view the books in your area before you buy. You can go to freedomizerradio.com and barefootislegal.org. Just click on the city, and within a few days, you will be saving money around your town with your new Save Around book. Go to freedomizerradio.com or barefootislegal.org. Click on your town and start saving money now. Welcome to Barefoot is Legal Radio, where you will learn the benefits and your rights to live a barefoot lifestyle. And now, here to empower you and dispel the myths of going barefoot, is a full-time barefooter of over 15 years and victims' legal advocate, your host, Nick Pierce. I am the head of MP Media Group. I did a radio show called The Business of Arts, Music, and Entertainment for a few years where I empowered up-and-coming artists in the entertainment business to advance their careers. I'm also a victim's legal advocate, standing up for the human rights that we as barefooters have. And I'm also the executive producer of an up-and-coming barefoot documentary slated for major network release. If you want to be a part of the show today, call in. The number is 319-527-6208. Also, check out our Facebook page, Barefoot is Legal, and join our Barefoot is Legal group on Facebook. You can interact with other members of the Barefoot community throughout the broadcast and after. Just join our group if you have not joined already. And again, on Facebook, that's Barefoot is Legal. Now, keep in mind, though, this is not a fetish community. No, no, no. We are here to educate and empower you, so this is not a place for you heavy-breathing fun seekers to get your rocks off. Not at all. Also, check out our webpage at barefootislegal.org. And with that said, now it's time to kick off your shoes if you're wearing them or have any, and enjoy the next hour and a half of time that we have together. This is a special New Year's episode I have put together because New Year's is like a time for renewal or time for a new beginning. Yes, it's a holiday, a holiday where we can start over the physical body of the human being and some of the aspects of our human selves, and also examine some of our moral qualities as well. So this may be a great time for some of you that may be looking for a New Year's resolution to possibly just say, you know what, maybe I want to start a barefoot lifestyle. And if you want to get started with that, why not? This would be a great time. You know, it will take a little time to get used to, of course. You know, there's a lot of different sensations that you're going to feel. And especially if you're living in the colder climates right now, you may struggle with that at first. If you listen to some of our past broadcasts, you will notice that I have shared some tidbits about how to overcome some of those cold weather obstacles. For those of you seasoned barefooters, though, out there that have been doing this for a while, what are some of the tips and tricks that you have that you can give some of the novice or just beginning barefooters out there? You know, I mean, like I said, there's so many sensations when you go barefoot when you first start out. And it's pretty much because you're not used to feeling anything with your bare feet. You know, your feet do have the highest concentration of nerve endings out of every other part of your body. And shoes have also been keeping your feet from feeling those different sensations and using some of those nerve endings. So if you've been stuffed in shoes all your life, you know, probably because you thought that your feet were vulnerable or it was a law or there's a health department rule or something about it. Well, that's not true. And we're here to debunk those myths and encourage you and empower you to get out and live that barefoot lifestyle. You know, you will need to build up, you know, when you start going barefoot, you're going to need to build up some of that strength in your feet and also your legs. Think about, like, if your arms or legs have been in a cast and, you know, you're sitting in a cast all this time, you broke your hand, you broke your arm. It does take away some of that feeling and some of that dexterity and some of that movement that you may have and also some of the sensation that you may have in that part of the body. Well, the foot is no different if you've been bound in foot coffins all your life. You know, your feet have been very confined in shoes for so long, just like your arm or leg were in a cast if you broke it. So, you know, just like there's physical therapy to get that going, there is also, you know, a little bit of strengthening and conditioning involved when you first kick off your shoes and start to feel the ground below you. And there's also a lot of concerns and misconceptions that people may have out there. You know, I know that, you know, there's people that think that, you know, bare feet are dirty or that, you know, maybe barefoot people are not clean. You know, again, those are myths. That's not true. I mean, think about it this way. How often do people wash their shoes? And I know I've said it on this program many times. How often does someone wash their shoes? Well, rarely ever. But at least someone who's barefoot at least washes their feet at least once a day. How many people that wear shoes can say that? You know, they walk around outside. They're not aware of where they're stepping. They have no idea what they're stepping in because they're not aware of their surroundings. Someone who's barefoot is aware of those surroundings. And they're not likely going to step in anything. So, again, you're going to have to also build up your you're going to have a heightened sense of awareness. And getting over some of these obstacles or some of these thoughts or some of these things that you've probably been programmed to believe all your life that give you prejudice against bare feet is also a mental conditioning thing as well. Now, your feet do get used to the sensations when you go without shoes long enough. And they actually become, those feelings that you have become comfortable. After a while of not wearing shoes, and you'll have people that prefer not to wear shoes just because they think they're uncomfortable. And eventually it's no different than, you know, some people that don't wear a hat a lot may think a hat's uncomfortable, or some people that don't wear skinny jeans and they're used to loose fitting clothing may all of a sudden put on some tight restrictive clothing and they're uncomfortable in that. You also become comfortable in your environment. Eventually, after doing it so much, you will be comfortable going out barefoot because people may be under the assumption that it's not acceptable. And that's because maybe 1 out of 1,000 people may ridicule you for being barefoot. may come after you claiming that there's all kinds of mythological rules and regulations and laws that prohibit someone from going barefoot, but that's not true. You can also avoid problems. You know, that footwear has made even worse. Think about all the foot disease. Think about all the products on the market that people end up buying just because their feet are in poor health. Corns, bunions, calluses, foot odor, nail fungus, ingrown toenails, athlete's foot, just the bacteria alone in a dark, moist, warm environment that could breed in there. These are ideal conditions for unhealthy things to happen. And once you free your feet and you go out there and start your barefoot lifestyle, problems will go away. Now, of course, everybody's different. You can't speak for 100% of everybody. Some people, their feet are just so damaged, mangled from being stuffed into pointy shoes, high heels, boots, you name it. And again, it goes back to the physical conditioning, rehabilitation of your foot. If you have something to say, we'd like to hear from you. Our call-in number is 319-527-6208. Again, that's 319-527-6208. And this is our special New Year's edition where we can hopefully help you make a New Year's resolution to enjoy a barefoot lifestyle. Or if you have any thoughts or had any thoughts about maybe not doing it anymore, maybe this will help you continue a healthy, happy New Year with a barefoot lifestyle. And of course, you know, people do think that their feet are weak. When they do, the muscles in their feet, you know, don't have a chance to become stronger. Again, you need to get out there, condition your body, condition your mind. You also need to condition other people. Because there are people out there that think, like I said, that it's illegal and that there's dangers out there, that glass and needles and sharp objects and, you know, and all that are all over the place that are just out to get you. Well, almost anybody listening out there to this broadcast that lives in a developed part of the world knows that the ground is kept pretty clean and safe for barefooters. I mean, we don't live in a third world country, people. And in fact, there's a greater concentration of glass, needles, and other sharp objects in the sand at the beach than there are anywhere else, well, besides landfills and I'm sure biohazard containers. But think about it. How many times do you handle hazardous objects with your hands? Every day. Scissors, knives, doors, chemicals, raw food, even dirty toilet paper. Yes, you do. That's a fact. Now, the things we touch with our hands are far more hazardous than the surfaces that we walk on, isn't it? Think about it that way. You know, I'm working on a barefoot documentary, and there's a lot of research that goes into doing a documentary. You know, first you got to accurately represent every point that you're trying to make. You know, you need to substantiate stuff with facts and research and all kinds of stuff. I mean, the list of what you cite when doing research goes on and on and on. Because, you know, of course, you know, the last thing you want is to make a claim in public that's false, misrepresenting anything. And, you know, of course, you say one thing that's slightly sideways and, you know, people will discredit almost everything else you say after that. So there's a lot of research that goes into a documentary. And I do a lot of research for this show. And, you know, I mean, I have legal resources, health resources and all that. But one thing that I did was a poll. And as part of the documentary that I'm producing, I polled 250 people. And that's who responded to this poll. Well, here's one for you. Think about things that you touch with your hands and then you put in your mouth, or things that you don't necessarily think of when it comes to germs. Now, this is not designed to make everybody into a germaphobe and fear, you know, of you know, touching anything and walk around with hand sanitizer, rubbing alcohol and disinfectant spray everywhere you go. Not a bad idea, but in my poll that I conducted for the documentary, 250 people responded. 80 people, now that's 32%, 80 of 250 people do not wash their hands after using the restroom before handling food in the grocery store. Yep. Everything from drink cans, bottles, onions, fruit, and other objects that you may not wash with antibacterial soap, processed in an autoclave, boiled in water, and lathered in 100% rubbing alcohol, bleached, and then iodined before you send it off to be quarantined and tested in a lab for every known hazardous substance in this dimension. Yeah, they're put in your mouth. And people are worried about what could happen if they're next to someone who is barefoot. That's just ridiculous. It really is. If you travel around the world, you will see almost every civilized and advanced nation have no issues with bare feet. Yes, the most. And you know who is the one with the largest issue? Well, it's only in the USA, the land of the free. Because people are free to make up imaginary things. And there are three words that I'm going to touch on in this broadcast, in this time with you today. Discrimination, oppression, and prejudice. And how these companies and how people get away with that. What does it really mean? And what can we as barefooters do? And what we need to get over these obstacles. We need people to understand why we live this lifestyle. We need people to understand that there are reasons, cultural, religious, medical, health, even just personal choice. And we can live this lifestyle without oppression, without being discriminated against. And we need to destroy that prejudice that exists. And I think that we have proof with us today.
Proof? Yes,
are you
sir.
With us? Hey.
I think you do too.
Well, yeah, how are you doing today?
I'm adequate. What's the word on the street?
Well, we're still fighting the Taliban and ISIS, and they could be here any minute, but we'll hold them back.
Okay.
And again, if anybody wants to be a part of the show, 319-527-6208, and we are here with the one and only head of the BIL community, our very own Proof. So what's
all
going
right.
on in the street by you, sir?
I don't want to see you by your lonesome, so I figured I'd check in and see what's cracking here, so to speak. And this is our platform, and I figured maybe I could do some good by calling in.
What? You could always do good calling in. Anybody that has anything to say about this, to advance our agenda, to help with our activism, and even just spread the word or just share whatever information, it's always good.
I'm
of course,
going
it's always
to
good
ask,
having you on this
though,
show because I don't feel so lonely.
I was going to ask if you found our website and our chat room to your liking today.
I have not even looked at it yet.
Okay, because we're trialing this because we get a 14-day free trial, and I don't know if this is the one that we want to buy.
And
there are
free on...
ones, but we want something with a little more control on our own. And so we're asking people to test this out because if I have no problem paying for it if it's going to work for us, but if it sucks, I don't want to spend the money and regret it.
Of course. So that's on freedomizerradio.com?
Yes.
All right. Well, I'm going to check that out right now.
We have listeners, so I want everybody, if you're around, to check this out, whether it's on our live show or even if it's just on the archives and you're checking in. If you could just peek at our website, freedomizerradio.com, and click the join chat button, and you'll see something move on the right-hand side, and our chat room appears.
Oh, great. So let's see. It looks like we go there and join now, and then we create a username or?
Yeah,
password.
I mean, you could say for right this second, for all intents and purposes, you could be guest number whatever, but at some point you'll want to change your name.
Yeah, it's making me do math. Prove that I'm a human. 6 plus 8.
Oh.
Wow. Okay. Well, that's okay. That's good. Means we won't have any robots out there or much spam.
Or Common Core learners.
That's right. So Common Core won't work with this. So we'll go in and register, and I'll go ahead and create. I thought I had a chat account here somewhere, but it's a new platform, so we probably have to create a new one, correct?
Right, and if this one doesn't work for whatever reason, we'll have to create another one and do the whole same thing, but I need to figure this out.
All right, we'll give it a shot here. There we go. So we're setting that up. And anybody, if you want to join in, we can get a chat up and going. That would be great. Just go to freedomizerradio.com. We can have a good old time there. And my username is...
Who knows? You can meet new members.
Yeah, that'd be great. So we'll go ahead and check an inbox here. So we'll go to email as well, and we'll get a confirmation. And hopefully I'll be seeing you guys in there soon. And that's also a great place to also send messages or ask questions, because a lot of times there's folks that don't want to be on the air. They just don't want to talk.
Right.
They're listening online. They don't have their phone on them. Or sometimes they'll call in and they forget to turn it down, and it just echoes in their ear and they think it doesn't work. But
right.
And they go to send us messages with questions, and it's always great answering the questions. So this is also a great platform to do that.
So when you join in the chat, the very last thing I posted was a meme that I just created on PicMonkey.com for our BIO group. And if you get a chance to click on that, you'll see it. It's some people find it to be pretty funny already.
Great. I'm going to get in there now, and we'll see what this looks like. And I'm just waiting for the confirmation. So we'll get in there, and I could even take a look at that during the break as well, get that working here. And so today it's pretty much about starting the new year, pretty much setting a goal, maybe doing a, you know, maybe this is your new year resolution, starting a barefoot lifestyle and overcoming some obstacles. And there's some interesting content as far as the laws that protect you and your rights as a barefooter and all that. And I know that we have our letter writing campaign is going good. I hear that we're getting caught up on that. And what kind of updates do we have for the group and our listeners out there as far as what's happening in the group on Facebook?
Well, I really want to push home the activism cause this year because, let's just say I had an email that I saw that I wasn't terribly happy with. And I'll use it just not because I want to bitch and moan, but I want to share the reason why we're here. It's not the Proof Nick and Nick show here. This is more than just another Facebook group. This is actually a grassroots community of sharing health benefits and legal issues in regards to our cause, and we need... The more people on deck, the better, because let me just put in here, and I just cut and pasted this today. Proof, you are the CEO of this group. You are asking members of your group to get involved in stuff you should be doing yourself. Why don't you do more for the BIL instead of making others do it?
That sounds a little crazy. Leader of an organization has multiple people that do things. So how would one person be able to do it all?
Well, I guess somebody was upset because I look at our group and I'm thinking to yourself, you're posting videos of the food you just ate at a restaurant or the beer you're drinking. Or maybe you took a picture of your cat or your two-year-old son, and all those are good. I'm not discounting that. But if we share a meme that you happen to like with real life, this is real life. And if we post something or if you think something is cool within our group, it shouldn't be considered activism just simply to share a picture or a meme or a news article. And Alicia, one of our managers for the BIL, and I were brainstorming because she's also the station manager now for Freedomizer, so she has two cushy, high-paying jobs with us, wink, wink, I guess, in air quotes. but we're trying to humanize our group, and I've been pushing the whole meetup thing with our members. I've been trying to tour to a few cities every so often to help get the word out. It's about meeting people and making friends and growing a community. It's not, well, this is what one person wants to do, so everybody can just hit like after I cure cancer, so to speak. But the more people that get involved, the bigger we're going to grow. The gay rights movement and women's rights back in the day and marijuana rights, anything with rights. People did not sit on the sidelines and just wait and hope that one day someone will change their mind and change the sign on the door. That's not exactly going to happen unless we do something about it. And
yeah,
if you've been in our group for a while, you should know what we're about, and I just hope that at minimum you can share, and my goal is to have everybody in our group tell three friends and have us have three friends this whole year join us. That would hit our 20,000-year plateau. And if you can't do that, that's fine. We just ask that you either come up with some other duty after you've been with us a while, because we don't want to push somebody from 0 to 60 and they have no clue what we do as a group. I want people to feel completely comfortable and excited to be with us, that they want to become the change. So
exactly.
Whether it's telling people, whether it's finding something and say, hey, I could do this. And if you can't and you still want to support our cause, simply putting $2 or $3 in a bucket at the end of the month would help us as well. Because if you can't do it and you want to see the change done, there's health fairs that might cost $1,200 a year, for example. I'm not saying we are going to do that right away, unless we have the funding for it, but there's health fairs that we can do for $200 or $300 for 3 days. It costs money to try to retain our freedom. And
it does.
It takes man hours. And so we need some of both. And it would be unreasonable to expect me to spend upwards of $30,000 or more on our project without anybody else putting in a penny. And me doing all the work just so someone can hit like on Facebook. If you like the cause, I'm strongly urging that you talk to one of us here and say, hey, what can I do to help? Or maybe you have some help ideas. I don't run things with an iron fist here, and we work by hearing everybody's feedback. This isn't, like I said, it's not just another group. It's an advocacy group here with a cause, and we have all the bells and whistles to help us succeed. And I don't look at this as I'm the CEO and what I say goes. Everybody has input here. And I can't stress that enough, and that's why I am not doing everything alone. This is a group effort. Activism is a team sport.
It is. And you are, yes, it's a title. You're the head, the CEO. You're the founder. You're the one that put it all together. You're the one that coordinated this whole thing. It started as your brainchild. You put it out there, and you are the one that's in charge of giving everybody the tools to do it. You are in charge of, you know, the group for communication, the closed group, picking the admins for that so that the group can run, so that there's admins that you entrust to say yes or no, and you know, kind of police, you know, not so much police, but just kind of, you know, keep it clean from, of course, the heavy breathing fun seekers and everybody else out there, the fetishists. You know, I mean, you have the radio show set up. You know, I'm not the one that started the radio show. I'm just filling the seat from someone else that did.
Right.
And I know there's a lot of new listeners out there ever since I started doing it that may not know that. They may think that, oh, this thing just started. And they may know me as doing this under another name many years ago and some of the other stuff that I used to do. But they may not realize. And you know, some of the, you know, some of those new listeners may not even be barefooters themselves. They're just like, oh, kind of cool. Check it out. You know, it's like he's doing this. Let's see what he's doing now. You know, this is a platform that you gave in the group, just like, you know, you have folks that, that are great at writing letters, Nick Deutschman and his team. You know, I'm sure they're all, you know, together on that. I just say it's his team, but it's the resources that are available that management gives to those to do the job and be successful. And it's just a matter of, you know, having the right resources. Like you're talking about the activism kits. We have one guy in the group who's all about, you know, hey, here's these cards, you know, the civil rights cards, and we can get them printed and I can send them to you. Here's the card to print. You know, someone's always spearheading something because that's what they're good at. And you need those, the worker bees, in order for an organization to succeed.
Right, and if people think I'm just lazy and not wanting to do anything for the group, that's I don't know how false that is.
I find it pretty false.
I can't even describe how false that is.
Yeah, I don't see that at all. I strongly disagree with that. I'm sure we have some callers that disagree with that too. I see our phone lines are pretty lit up. We're coming up to the top of the hour. If anybody wants to be a part of the show, 319-527-6208. And I think we have to run a couple commercials here.
Okay.
But Proof is with us in the co-host seat. As long as he can stay. I don't know if you're in a hurry to go anywhere. Well, I guess it's time to pay a few bills to keep this going. And we'll be right back with the Barefoot is Legal radio show.
How would you like to make your work more enjoyable, be more creative and relaxed, all while sitting at your desk? That's exactly what my Serenity Rug has done for me. This revolutionary footrest, I can't even call it a foot rest because this thing encourages movement of your feet, which results in more blood flow. While traditional footrests advocate the motionless placement of your feet, I found that I'm unconsciously digging my feet into the long, soft grass strands of the Serenity Rug. It delivers an incredibly relaxing sensation that closely resembles the feeling of an exotic foot massage. If you have ever had a foot massage that made you want to stay there for hours, you know what I'm talking about. If you have not heard about the Serenity Rug, check them out at serenityrug.com and join the exclusive Serenity Rug community and enjoy a feeling of comfort and relaxation that most will never experience. They've sold out before, so I suggest you do your feet a favor and grab one of these. Again, that's serenityrug.com.
Hi, everyone. Here is a sponsor that you can help save yourself some money and find new places to check out. Save Around is a very popular coupon book throughout most major U.S. cities. With Save Around, you get buy one, get one free restaurant, discounts on many department stores, car rentals, flowers, etc. With Save Around, you not only fund our network, you help fund your family and save yourself some money while eating out. I have a family of four. A decent meal is upwards of $60 for us. And if I could save $10 to $15 while taking out the family, I am very happy. You can view these books in your area before buying. Please check out freedomizerradio.com and our barefootislegal.org website for the link. Check out the new book, click on your city, and in a few days, you will be saving yourself some cash with your new Save Around book.
You know the Constitution like the back of your hand. You've read books, listened to podcasts, attended lectures, surfed websites, and watched videos. You've made liberty your life's goal, but something seems to be missing. Stickers from LibertyStickers.com. Exercise your freedom of speech with the world's most dangerous bumper stickers. That's LibertyStickers.com. But wait.
There's more. You can buy Liberty stickers wholesale. Get them for 99 cents each when you put 100 or more in your shopping cart in any combination. Sell them or give them away. They're great for gun shows, flea markets, fairs, outreach, and more. Earn extra money, promote freedom, and spread the word. Need custom stickers, labels, or decals for your organization or business? Liberty Stickers makes them. Go to libertystickers.com to order or call 877-873-9626. Libertystickers.com, the world's most dangerous stickers.
Got a spare tire around that waist? Is your muffin top over the top? Do you binge eat uncontrollably? We are the government and we are here to help you. Here at our free FEMA weight loss camp, we have numerous ways to help you shed those unsightly, unwanted pounds. FEMA or Fatties, eating mitigated, automatically has a communist-style weight loss czar that specializes in centralized weight loss planning and communal extended fasting programs to shed that fat away in no time. Skin and boned means extra tone is the motto. Just remember, there is no way you can do it on your own. We will forcefully assist you into compliance. Failure is not an option in this utopian wonderland. How fantastic. Typical workout regimes include digging ditches and restocking them with dirt, building railways and more. Get life skills while you get lean. How do you join? Simple. Recite the Constitution in a public commons or violate the Patriot Act that includes simple misdemeanors. It's really that easy to get your own fenced-in slice of Americana. Stop being a fatty. The state is your daddy.
And of course, welcome back. You're listening to the Barefooters Legal Radio Show, and I'm your host, Nick Pierce, 15-plus year full-time barefooter, and this is our special New Year's edition, kicking off the new year, hoping that if you wish to live a barefoot lifestyle, this is a great way to get started. And of course, if you want to be a part of the show, 319-527-6208, and of course, we have our very own Proof riding on the wings today of our New Year's special. And we also have a special visitor with us, Katmir, who whose chair I am filling, or one of the, there's a lot of chairs that I'm filling. There were multiple hosts before, and he's also here with us. And welcome back from the break, everyone. And hope we enjoyed that moment of bill paying and all the rants and wonderful goodness. 319-527-6208 if you want to be a part of Barefooters Legal. Proof, he's here with us, and of course, Katmir, you're on the air with us as well. So, what do you got going on this weekend?
Hello, hi Nick, hi Proof, hello. Happy Saturday. It is almost 2 p.m. where I am here, east of Atlanta, Georgia. I don't know if you can hear a bunch of noise in the background here. I'm actually surfing the Asian Grill and Buffet. It's our go-to place on the weekends. And yes, I am not wearing shoes.
That's great.
I can. And no, it's never been an issue. Actually,
yeah, I've never had an issue at all in any, most restaurants, you know.
Yeah.
Most
yeah.
of my go-to, I never had an issue. And, you know, especially Asian restaurants, buffets and Chinese and all that. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's true. The closest I've been to anything like that was a very short conversation with a manager of one of the Golden Corral restaurants, where he started reciting the rules for his employees, and I happened to be on the show at that time, and I just told him that the first thing out of my mouth, because I was in the middle of choosing one meal, was barefootislegal.org. He's like, what is that? And I just went ahead and explained to him that what he recited pertains to employees, not the clients. And just explained to him that he was like, oh, but what about the state health department? And I'm like, that's a rumor started in the 60s. You can go to the website and check it out. And he's like, okay, what was the site again? I told him barefootislegal.org. And he said, okay, thank you. He went into the back office. I never saw him again. And I enjoyed my meal. That was many moons ago, but, you know, it's the same thing. In fact, this area where we're at, Buford, Georgia, there's a huge kind of like a mall area. It's like malls on top of malls. Not an issue around here. You would think it would be because, you know, big city kind of a attitude, the big city attitude really is more like commerce. So they're busy, you know, buying and selling rather than, you know, scrutinizing footwear.
Of course, yeah. You know, I don't know, Kamir. You know, if anybody came up to me and started reciting the employee handbook to me and the rules for the employees, I would have said, wait a minute, does that mean I'm hired? You know, I would have been like, well, I appreciate the job offer. You know, I could use a part-time job in between radio and, you know, running a media company, you know. However, I don't know if I have enough time for it. I don't like your rules, so I don't think I'm a good fit for your company, but I will enjoy your food and sit down, you know.
Right on.
So, I don't have too many problems in restaurants. I find it's more in you know, it's funny. I find that the better the restaurant or the more upscale it is, the less of a problem you have. And it's almost directly proportional to the amount of money that the employees make there. I think that you're more scrutinized or, you know, it's more judgmental in, like, the fast food business that I've found, at least in my area anyway, than if I were to go into a jacket and tie restaurant. And I could sit there, and it's almost like, you know, they say, oh, that's interesting, you know, blah, blah. They'll want to have intelligent conversation about it instead of just someone saying, you need shoes, you can't be in here, we're all going to die. You know, hamburger's going to kill you, and your toe's going to get amputated by a piece of cheese and lettuce. I mean, it's just one of those things. I don't know if that's the same in your area, but I do realize that there is a different mentality in the larger cities as well than smaller towns.
That seems to be the case, at least from the outset, because of, I'll say that there's a, oh gosh, I just hopped from so many cities, like for example, Miami, Florida, very different from Atlanta, Georgia, and there's a certain fashion sense, of course, environmental factors, you know, how much concrete is in the area, but, as far as a smaller city goes, like where I used to live in Winston-Salem, North Carolina, a.k.a. the Tar Heel State, because bare feet, it's not immediately apparent. People are more apt in, let's say, big city businesses to point out that fact. It's like, hey, you're not wearing wingtips or you don't have the pointy shoes on. Than they would in a smaller town, and I think that's just by the relaxed nature of the overall environment. You know, big city, lots of things going on, many things are 24/7. Everybody's busy, and there's the decorum of it. You know, this is, you know, business. This is business casual, business. So, you know, they'll check out your shoes. It's like, you can tell a lot about this man. He's chillax.
Another thing is, but it also seems to be like in the larger cities, that's where the business owners or the major decision makers for company are. And I think that it's more of a fact that, you know, in some of the larger cities, they're there and they can see their bottom line. They can see the, you know, the clientele, the customer, as opposed to, you know, so far removed out into the rest of the country or even out in the world, where that leadership or the business people are not there in most major cities. And it almost seems like, you know, that they want your money. And it's not a matter of them being so far removed from where the corporate decision makers are that they have – it's almost like the checks and balances are there, if you know what I'm saying. It's kind of one of those things. And they're also more attuned to culture, diversity, and they're more accepting. And I think it's just also part of the culture and all that. When you get into smaller towns, they become more judgmental.
That's true. That's true. And the money's a key issue. For me, I wish I could quote certain people, but the shoe thing, for example, yeah. If more people went barefoot, then the shoe industry, oh no, it's going to tank down and disappear. Because those people would be doing that. They would realize they don't need this, don't need so much of it, and, their goal is sales. And, of course, people are in the business of making the money and circulating that.
Yeah.
So just go about it in a different way. The way I see it is that it's more of a preservation thing. Less resources would be used. It would be less shoes in the landfill. From what I can know, and I'm not very educated on this, but as far as reusing and recycling shoes in general, I'm not sure how feasible that is.
They're not necessarily easy to recycle.
I don't know about that. It's I'm more seeing as what goes into making the shoes, and then people just will buy a whole new wardrobe of them per year.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Well, here's a simple statement that could really destroy the shoe industry. People are worried about vegan and vegetarian stuff. Almost all the adhesives that are used to make shoes, almost every major brand, they all have some sort of animal byproduct in there. So there you go. We'll see how well that goes with them. Hopefully we have a lot of listeners.
Hey, you'll have to pick up on them. That, and we could share that in all the vegan sites and see how many of them want to come over.
There you go. I think we should put a little meme together and make that happen.
That's
get
a great
to all
idea.
The vegan and vegetarian sites and say, did you know? And, share that wonderful, interesting little tidbit with them. And see how well that flies.
It's just thinking.
You got a point where sometimes it's just about how they want to make money pushing these marketing campaigns and how these shoes make you do amazing things. Like making you jump higher, play ball better, run faster. And, one guy came up to me in a store once and he goes, you don't have any shoes. I said, and I knew that he was a manager. I mean, he was the tie, the badge, the whole bit. And I said, oh no, are you on commission now? Are you working in the shoe department? And he just looked at me like, no, I just want you to be careful where you're walking. I'm the manager. And he had the demeanor when he approached that he was about to go into the spiel. So I just figured, let me just cut him off right there.
Yeah.
So. And sometimes you just got to have some fun with it.
That's true.
Did you see the meme I posted in our chat room?
I'm looking through the chat room now.
It's on the very bottom.
Requires you to your flip-flops. And then because it looks a little cut off.
Click on the picture.
All righty. And that brings us to the Facebook page. Here we go. The insanely ride at the Stratosphere in Las Vegas is on top of one of the tallest points in the U.S. Requires you to keep your flip-flops on at all times because you can fall and hurt your feet. That's a big drop. Now, this is clearly misrepresentation. They could really get sued for this.
And look at the little thing on the left as well that I posted in there, too. It's in smaller print.
People yell at you for being barefoot. Where does...
No.
Why didn't... Okay.
No, it says, but a helmet or gloves are not needed for this ride.
Yeah, no, I guess parachutes... Well, the flip-flops probably have built-in parachutes, according to this.
Right.
Part of this episode that I want to get into is how there are legal ramifications for businesses that post stuff like this. clearly both in a federal criminal and also in a civil manner as well. And it's it really has to do with misrepresentation.
Thank you.
And things like fraud. Because if a company is claiming, see, fraud, according to the law, is not just deliberate deception to secure an unfair or unlawful gain. It's also defined as to deprive a victim of a legal right. Now, misrepresentation is something that could be incorrectly, perpetuated. So it does not need to necessarily be intentionally false to create any kind of liability, but a statement made with conscious ignorance or a disregard for the truth that can create liability. So if they are misrepresenting an item, making a claim that it could do something that it normally cannot. So in other words, like they, with that meme that's there, they're making a claim that your flip-flop, if you fall, is going to save you or you won't get injured.
Mm-hmm.
And an actual attorney, I think a good accident attorney could go after them for that and sue them. And I think that's what really should start happening this year. I think that we need to get a little more legal-minded and start going after some of these companies that make claims where they're misrepresenting the health department on signs, where they're misrepresenting certain things. And it doesn't necessarily intentionally – they don't need to be intentionally false, like meaning that they intentionally think that – you know, even if they intentionally think this is true, it can still be misrepresentation and even construed as fraud. So it depends on what level it is, and can you go after them on a criminal level, or can you go after them on a civil level? And that's an interesting point. So I'm glad you kind of brought that up there, Proof, because, you know, that kind of led to something that I wanted to talk about later in the broadcast.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, something else that I'm just going to comment on. I am by far not an eloquent person. But there, it's very important also for people who, for barefooters, you know, who may run into some kind of a resistance, to know, one, what they are talking about. They have to be able to phrase their rights correctly. The rash reaction of to say, oh, it's not legal. It's not illegal. No, it isn't. That's a lie. Well, basically, you know, a natural reaction. The focus over here is that being barefoot is legal. So you have to know your rights, and you also have to be able to present that correctly.
Yeah.
So please listen to the archive and listen to how Nick says it and commit it to memory.
I appreciate that, because there really are a few tools that you really need when you're barefoot in public, and being armed with that knowledge helps. So you can't just sitting there and saying, someone says it's illegal, and you say, no, it's not. Yes, it is. No, it's not. Yes, it is. No, it's not. Yes, it is. And it's like, you know, no, it's not. Doesn't help. Having a copy of like the civil rights cards for your state, a copy of the health department letter, and even a copy of those public accommodation laws from the U.S. Department of Justice, ready when you need them and know what they are. And also, you know, document these confrontations. You know, everybody has a phone or some way to, you know, almost everybody may be able to video a confrontation to document the incident. And one of the most important things is when you are confronted, is not just saying, but there's no sign and there's no this and but there's no laws, but there's this. First, just ask why and go from there. If someone says you need shoes in here, just say why. And then there's no need to argue points that may not even be a thought at that time. Once you find out why and what the objection is, you can then overcome whatever it is with the proof that you have. And then you can always say, you know, what's your name? Are you the manager? You know, but always stay calm, explain, justify, and debunk is one of the main things. And, of course, never, ever say, well, you don't have a sign on the door, because that just leads to, you know, sign writing campaigns, which leads us to make more letter writing campaigns.
Yeah,
first rule of barefooting, never, ever, ever mention or address the NS, NS, NS sign.
Yeah. Yeah. And just once you find out why, then you can go from there. Because I've seen people with confrontations and they say, oh, you can't be in here barefoot. And they're like, well, there's no health department laws against it. And then they're like, well, yes, it is. But actually, it's because of this. Then all of a sudden, now you're arguing two fronts because you were the first one to bring it up. You're just like, you know, find out why first and go from there. You know, if they say, oh, it's a safety issue, say, well, if I get hurt in shoes because I normally don't wear them, are you liable then for making me do something that I normally don't do? At that point, that ends that argument. No, we just want you to be careful, because they're not going to get into it on that one. Once it sounds like you know the law and liability and all that, just in one simple sentence, you've now expressed to them that, you know what, I'm not equipped to handle, you know, that they're not equipped to handle this, and they're just going to back off and say, no, we just want you to be careful. That's all I want you to do. Okay, I will. Thank you very much for your concern. You move on with your day and your shopping or your meal or whatever it is.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And you were mentioning the fast food places having issues, and I love when one of them say, well, there could be glass in here, and you can look around, and when they say there could be glass, you can simply ask them, well, what glass products are you selling with your hamburgers?
Yeah, you know, you could say, is that in the nuggets or in the burger? Where's your glass? Or you just put shards of it in the French fries. You know, I don't know of any glass in a fast food restaurant besides the windows, honestly.
Mm-hmm. But what the goal is to make people step in their own mess. So when somebody says, well, there could be glass on the ground here in McDonald's, you can simply ask them, well, what glass products are there being sold in McDonald's? And they will say none. And
exactly.
Then some of them might figure out their arguments, and some of them might still think they're slick and try to think of something else. But for the most part, they will realize there's no glass. And then when they bring up the health code stuff, then you could show them the health code letter. And then maybe they'll continue to make stuff up, and you keep firing at them. That's all.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, once you know where you're getting at with that, then and you know what front you're fighting, I mean, you can't just, you know, have an imaginary enemy or an imaginary battle at that moment. Find out exactly what it is, overcome it, debunk it, and all that. And then you can go from there. And, you know, using claims such as misrepresentation, fraud, or, you know, prejudice, discrimination, and all that really makes someone back down. And I found one of the most useful phrases that I use when someone says the health department requires that. And I turned around to a manager once in a store that I've been shopping at for like 6 years. All of a sudden, there was some new manager, overzealous, here we go, shoe police person. And he said, excuse me, I see you come in here a lot, but I've been meaning to say something to you. You have got, and just the way he phrased it, you have got to wear shoes in here. And I've looked at them and I've said, why? And he goes, well, you know, there's the health department and all that. I said, you know, that's been a myth that's around for a long time. I think very highly of you and your employees here. And that's a myth because people didn't want hippies and poor black people in establishments back in the 60s and 70s. I said, you never strike me as a racist person. I've seen you in here quite a bit. Boy, he said, are you calling me racist? I said, you sound like it, yeah. Mm-hmm. I said, and shame on you. And I made sure to say that in front of five or six other customers. And he just got red and said, I don't know about that, but I'm no racist. I said, well, here's a copy of the health department letter if you need it for your files. And he goes, I didn't know. I'm very sorry. I didn't mean it to sound that way. I didn't even know. I'm glad you told me. I would never say that in front of anybody. I would never say that, blah, blah, blah. I mean, he start backpedaling, and they're just like, uh-huh, yep, there you go. Once you call someone out on something like that, you know, it's amazing. Ignorance, misinformation, the haters and all that, they like to persecute, oppress, blah, blah, blah. Then they all of a sudden you know, take a whole different tone. And we're coming to the bottom of the hour here. I believe we need to take a break. We're on the phone with Katmir, our former host of the Barefoot is Legal radio show, as well as Proof, co-hosting today. Definitely like to have you guys back on. We also have some phone calls. I know Kevin has a story for us. And when we come back from this break, we're going to hear some more. Again, if you want to be part of the show, that's 319-527-6208. I do have a special ending for this special episode. So if you want to hang in there, and we'll get to that the last 5 minutes. And we're going to take a break, pay some bills, and when we come back, you'll have some more of the Barefoot is Legal radio show. See you in a bit.
Things seem to be going wrong in the world today. Every aspect of our lives seems to be under attack sometimes. Many struggle to make sense out of it. What is really going on? Identifying the problem is critical to any solution. Many people claim to have answers. But what is the truth? What works? What has worked in the past? History does repeat itself, and you must learn from it. You have choices. We cannot change the course of history, but we may change our role in it. All roads lead to Rome. All roads lead to the kingdom of God. The question is, which way are you going? Join us to make sense out of it all in the Sabbath Hour at 3 p.m. Pacific Standard Time or 6 p.m. Eastern Standard Time for an iconoclastic look at the world yesterday, today, and tomorrow, and hear about the keys of the kingdom.
Hello, Freedomizers. Joanne Moretti here, inviting you to join my great co-host Scott Ferrarello and myself, as well as our many correspondents and colleagues, every Thursday at 3 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, that's noon Pacific, for Zone 13, the best fast-paced news, current events, and investigative report show on the web. We bring you the news the mainstream media won't. Please find us at freedomizerradio.com, where you can listen and chat. Again, please join us for Zone 13, Thursdays at 3 p.m. Eastern Time, noon Pacific. Hope to see you there, Freedomizers.
Hey, Freedomists, join me, Proof Negative, weeknights, 9 p.m. to midnight Eastern, 6 p.m. to 9 p.m. Pacific, as we fight the New World Order together, right here on Freedomizer Radio, your exclusive home of the Proof Negative Show.
Need a reason to stay up on Thursday night? Late Night Across America with Michael and Debbie is the new show of returning veteran internet hosts Michael J. Weber and Debbie Lewis. Late Night Across America with Michael and Debbie will cover as many topics as they can in pursuit of knowledge. It's the only way to make informed decisions. It'll be worth staying up for. So join us from 9 p.m. to 10:30 p.m. Pacific, 11 p.m. to 12:30 a.m. Central, every Thursday night on Freedomizer Radio.
Are you barefooters out there looking for a new place to shop, eat, or save? Are you sick of paying full price? Would you like to save money at the places you enjoy most? Well, here's a popular savings book that is full of coupons catered to your local area. It's called Save Around. This book is full of exclusive discounts to help you save money around your town. Yes, that's Save Around. You will save money at restaurants, department stores, on cars, even flowers. When I take my family out, there are seven of us. The average meal was about $110 to $140. Last time I took them out, and I'm holding a copy of the receipt right now, right here. The check was $120. With the Save Around book, our meal cost us $82 at a place we go to quite often. Who knew? And there are a few places we found that we're going to check out. Here's what you can do. If you want to save that much money, view the books in your area before you buy. You can go to freedomizerradio.com and barefootislegal.org. Just click on the city, and within a few days, you will be saving money around your town with your new Save Around book. Go to freedomizerradio.com or barefootislegal.org. Click on your town and start saving money now. And we are back. Coming down to the last half hour of our Barefoot is Legal radio show for this special New Year's Eve broadcast. And don't forget, you can always take us with you if you're not able to listen online. You can check out our archives. And if you want to be part of the show or just call in and listen to the show, it's 319-527-6208. And we have one of our very special friends with us today. Not just proof hosting and co-hosting with me, who's riding out this broadcast with me, keep me company here on this holiday weekend, but also our very own and loved Kevin. How are you doing? You're on Barefoot is Legal. Welcome back, my friend.
Hey, how's it going?
Good.
All right.
What's your story? I know you have a story for us this weekend. What you got going on?
Well, here's what happened. A couple of, it was either... Wednesday or Thursday, probably Thursday. So everybody know about Food Lion grocery stores. They're mainly in North Carolina, but they also got stores here in Virginia. So what happened was this store down the street, I go in there, you know, barefoot as usual, never a problem. So I just went in there to do a quick run. I just when I'm about to head to the register, the grocery manager, not the store manager, but the grocery manager comes up, stops me and says, "Hey, you have to have shoes on in here because there could be glass on the floor and it's a violation. So I'll let you go this time, but next time you got to have shoes on here." And then he walks off. And I didn't even get a chance to like explain or even defend myself at all. So what happened was. So the day, I think what was it yesterday? I just went in with my bare bottoms, you know, just to see something. Of course, I saw him, but I already left before he saw me. So here's a good part. This morning, I called corporate about that.
Mm-hmm.
Explaining what happened and asking is there a policy, all that kind of jazz. And apparently it's documented that the letter that they sent me is still good. When she told me, I was telling her that hey, there's no law or no health code and this and that, So she went to go put me on hold to do some further research and whatnot, mm-hmm. And she said that they do require a shirt and shoes. But also they said that they will accommodate customers for personal and religious reasons,
Yes.
And I'm like, okay, well, so I'm like, is it okay? So you're saying it's okay for me to go barefoot into your stores without being hassled? And she repeated again, we accommodate customers for personal religious reasons. So if you have any further issues, just let us know. So I'm like, yeah. Yes, victory.
Yes, it is a victory. In 2011, I sent an email that I received back then over to Nick Deutschman, who's doing our letter writing for the corporate complaints and all that. And the lady's name was Andrea, and I'm not going to mention her last name on the air. She's a consumer research specialist for that company. And there was a very official letter sent apologizing that said that this was an unfortunate situation. And we have taken measures to address this matter internally. And they did circulate this letter out. Now, this is going back to 2011, where they did say that although they do have a policy that's more in place for the safety of customers, but their top priority is, given our commitment to diversity and inclusion, we would accommodate customers for personal and religious reasons. And... I sent that over, and I'm also going to make a PDF copy of that email to post on the BIL group page for any of the members that may encounter a problem if they need to carry that with them.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Because, you know, because I told her, you know what I'm saying, why don't you, you know, I think all the store managers should be educated and then relaying it to all the other store managers and all the other employees about this and shit. You know, I'll address this to our to whoever she's going to address it to. You know, and this is one of the things that we've been talking about, you know, for I don't know how long, you know what I'm saying, about store employees, especially the overall store manager being educated. And it's like, you know, all these other employees are trying to enforce rules that don't even exist based upon what they think instead of based upon the facts.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
So
You have timing is also a big part of it. What happens is businesses, especially around the holidays, they bring in a lot of external, like a lot of extra help, part-timers, people from temp agencies, especially in retail, customer service, and all that. So what happens is you may have a store manager, but there's so many new people, and then after the holidays, they let a lot of people go. Or they have, you know, new positions that they fill and other people leave. So what's happening is that the turnaround time is, for employees, the employee turnover rate could be so high in some of these larger companies that they don't get the chance to filter that information properly to the employee. And that's kind of why in a previous story and all that, or even in some of the techniques that I've shared, I've always said, listen, are you the manager? Because you can normally tell if they're not. Sometimes the way they handle themselves professionally. Don't forget, I've seen a lot of, goofy managers out there. But, you always want to make sure you're talking to the right person that can then send that information down the chain and make sure that everybody's on the same page. And when they don't, then I like to contact a little bit above and say, why aren't your managers doing this? And this is the reputation that they're giving you. And that sometimes puts a different paint job on things. And it's amazing how fast that information will eventually get to all the other levels of staff in an establishment or organization. But yeah, that's
yeah,
a good point.
Because you think about it, overall, the main store manager should know this. It almost seems like they don't. You know, why isn't the corporate people or whoever are not passing down the policy, or why aren't the managers or the employees not trying to find out this information for themselves? You know what I'm saying? Because some of the other part time or full time or whatever, you know what I'm saying? Oh yeah, they'll be quick to kick you out, or what they call it, or they call a store manager and whatnot.
Yeah.
You know, and that kind of what happened to me is like, you know, and I was telling whoever one of the representatives I was talking to, I was like, hey, you know, I come in here barefoot all the time without issue until that happened, you know. So now, and I totally forgot that I still got that letter in my car. So basically, she said that letter, you know, still stands. So I think it's a victory on my part going into this store. So now I think, okay, the next time I see that dude, you know, should I have the letter in my hand? Probably, you know. But I'll explain to him, hey, I called corporate, and they said it was okay. You know, because y'all are supposed to accommodate customers for personal and religious reasons. So for that reason, you can't kick me out. You can't make me leave.
Yeah, and medical reasons too. And it also has to do with, and I'm not making excuses anyway for any of these companies that have bad behavior like this, but it could get lost in the shuffle, I found. Whereas, unless it sounds severe enough, where there's a threat of litigation, the threat of prosecution for illegal activity, they don't take it as seriously as it's kind of like, well, it's a case-by-case basis, as opposed to when there's something severe enough that could land them in legal action, then they take it very seriously and it gets to all points, and it doesn't slide under the radar. when the information is getting passed down at that point. In fact, I've even had cases where I've contacted businesses and they've gone as far as reprimanding and firing employees, as well as changing the storefronts and their signage. So it happens. And it can happen.
And Food Lion is one of those companies that do not have a sign on their doors at all. So
yeah.
I don't even ask that. I really don't based upon what everybody's been saying. That's a big no. Never ask about the sign.
Of course, yeah, never
so
do.
It's like okay. Mm-hmm. And so it's okay, cool. Cause matter of fact, all the encounters that I have, I never asked for it. I never, point out there's no sign. One of my first questions was, is it store policy? And of course, most people will ask, what they want to see it in writing. And then the thing is, like, how many of those employees know the entire store policy? Not just saying, it is, and they look it up and they can't find it.
Yeah, an interesting legal aspect, if they do have such a policy, is then they assume the liability if someone gets hurt doing something that they normally don't do. And I know I said that many times on this show, but sometimes there's only so much you can do. And as we grow and as we have more people working on different campaigns that can address those issues, then we can really go after it from a legal standpoint.
And the thing that really stuck out in my brain, how he said that is a violation against us. What violation do you speak of?
Yeah, it's like, what are they going to do, fine you? It's like, here's a ticket.
Exactly. Let me off with a warning.
Yeah, I know. It's like, give me the ticket and I'll go to court with it. Yeah, it's like, I'll see you in front of a judge. Violation against them. They're in the business of public accommodation. It's a violation of your rights to refuse you the same services that everybody else is afforded. Just because you may have a lifestyle choice, a disability, a religious or cultural reason, or a health reason for it. So they really can't say that it's a violation against them. And that would be the one thing that would rattle my nerves and go right up my spine. And they would definitely have a bad day for me over that once I'm done presenting them with paperwork. Within 6 hours, I can draw up paperwork and they'd be done. And Kevin, we are running out of time though today. But you're going to join us next week, right? So then we got to get
next week
for a couple things. And
next week, and I have to work, but I'll try.
All righty. Well, hey, Kevin, as always, it's great having you on the show, and I hope you have a wonderful new year. Sorry, we're just running out of time today. It's always great having you. Thanks for sharing that story. And I hope that, of course, what we're doing, you're hanging in there listening, you know that it helps. And, just your stories help us alone. So thank you for joining us today. And thank you for being out there and doing what you do to support this movement. And, of course, thank you for your service, too.
Oh, yeah.
And,
of course.
I hope you have a happy new year.
All right. You too, Nick.
Have a good one. And Proof, I know you have a couple words that you want to share with us. Coming up to the end of our time together. As far as any growth in the group,
if I can share with one of our members, Christina, in a town outside of Las Vegas, wants to know, what do you say when you're in a small town? And their reply is that the owner requires it.
The owner of the town requires it, or the owner of the business requires it?
The owner of the business. And you don't want to have to drive 105 miles to go get groceries, for example.
I would definitely find out why the owner requires it and let them know that there are laws to protect your rights to do it. I don't think any small business owner in a small little town would like to be the main center of attention over a civil rights case or a disability ADA complaint with the Department of Justice. And it's a lot easier to educate a small business owner than it is for a major corporate chain. So you kind of have an advantage there as long as you know your facts. And again, if you need help, we have a group here that can help you.
Well, yeah, that, and like I've said, it's I look at our group as more of just a group. It's an advocacy arm. And,
exactly.
And we specialize in helping people retain and obtain said freedoms.
Yeah.
And that's why we're on Freedomizer Radio. It's a personal freedom issue.
Exactly.
But
see,
most importantly, though, Nick, most importantly, Nick and Christina out there listening, is that we have to remember that a business needs our money more than we as regular people on the street need a place to give our money to.
Exactly. And with competition and a lot of mom-and-pop businesses failing because of large corporate chains and the big-box stores, they should really think twice before discouraging the business from people that do want to spend money. And most of the time, the markups on their product, because they're not getting them at the same quantities that the larger big-box stores are getting them for, so they have a higher markup on there. It's more expensive to buy from those places. And when you're in a small town, and I lived in a small town for quite some time when I first moved out to the state that I live in now, in Ohio. And, yeah, it was, you know, you went into town, you stocked up for 2 months' worth of supplies. And if you really needed anything, there really wasn't anything in town except a pizza place and a post office and a junk store. But you, you know, in a drive-thru on the outskirts. But you stocked up. And if the small business owner does not want that business, you know, feel free to take that tactic as well. You know, see, we're here because we have, you know, we're doing a lot to show you what the laws are, educate you on what your rights are, and give you the resources. You know, so hopefully this new year, you can kick off your shoes and stand up for yourselves and demand the respect that we deserve. Because we can no longer sit here and let ignorant, misinformed haters continue to persecute and oppress us because of our lifestyle, for whatever reasons that we are barefoot. And that's our main reason here.
Sounds good. I wholly endorse that.
Well, hey. And we should have a lot of members that do. And, you know, we should, you know, it's funny when you think of the song, especially this time of year, Auld Lang Syne. And we've all run about the hillsides and pulled our daisies fine. And we have wandered many weary foot doing it as barefooters. We've paddled the streams. But there is, okay, these seas are broad and, you know, they roar. We need to overcome these objections and these obstacles that we face as barefooters. Because too much time has gone by with and we cannot take it anymore. And that is just a brief portion of how Auld Lang Syne in this new year can relate to us, our movement, our cause, and hopefully, you know, give us a little more, you know, be empowered to keep pursuing our mission and continue to do what we do. So you have anything else to add, Proof? Before we close out the show, because I'll leave him with a little bit of Auld Lang Syne for the new year.
Okay, so how much time do I have?
We have about 1 minute.
Okay. Well, I just wanted to say that I'm looking forward to 2017, and I'm up for the challenge of trying to bring our total goal here of 25,000 members to our group, as well as become relevant. I would like to see this year become a year where we actually have a somewhat decent name behind us and be able to do things. But it all starts with all of our members here pitching in. Unfortunately, activism's a team sport, and we need more as many people to get involved as possible, no matter how small or large you want to contribute, whether it's financially or just by spreading the word. And you can find out more, of course, barefootislegal.org, our Facebook group, Barefoot is Legal. We have a business page as well. And I'm going to put down the challenge of trying to, what can you do for your community, which is our community, basically. So that's what I'm going to focus on, and it's been a pleasure to have everybody for 2016, and I'm honored with how we've grown so far, and I think we could do so much more. Take it away, sir.
That's great. I could not have said it any better myself. And you heard it here on Barefoot is Legal Radio our founder, CEO, and the god to the group, Proof himself.
I don't know about that.
And I don't know, a lot of people look up to you despite some of the negative, you know, posts about, you know, making other people do it. You know, this man's not just a pencil pusher. There's a genuine passion for what he does, and I'm here to support it, and I know that there's a lot of people out there that support it. So we've wandered our feet around doing what we do through the streams. It's a broad road, but hopefully the information that we give here will empower you to continue. And I hope everybody out there has a happy and safe Barefoot New Year. Let's do it.
Should old acquaintance be forgot and never brought to mind? Should old acquaintance be forgot and days of old lang syne? For old lang syne, dear, for old lang syne, we'll tak a cup o' kindness yet for days of old lang syne. We twa here on about the braes and pull the gowans fine, but we've wandered many ways that since days of old lang syne. And we twa he paddled in the barn frae morning sun till dine, but seas between us braid he would since days of old lang syne. For old lang syne, my dear, for old lang syne, we'll tak a cup o' kindness yet for days of old lang syne. My dear, for old lang syne. We'll tak a cup o' kindness yet for old lang syne.
And of course, on behalf of everybody here at the Barefoot is Legal radio show, Proof, all of our callers today, I'm Nick Pierce, everybody here at Freedomizer Radio. Thanks for tuning in. Hope everybody has a happy and safe Barefoot New Year. And have a great day.